So, ready to go on a beautiful white Yerushalayim day. Rabbi Josh has arrived, so we can begin. Oh. That's so simple, is it? Okay, we're holding by the Gemara and Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, I believe. Did we start the Gemara? Oh, we did the Mishnah, though, right? We did the Mishnah, okay. And maybe it wouldn't hurt to do the Mishnah again, since we're going to start the circuit. There's a number of things we should remember from the Mishnah. Let's just review quickly. We need a good beginning, and you're here, so we can afford it. Shvuat ha'edut ketzad. Amar l'shnayim bo'u v'ha'iduni. And they respond by saying, Shvuat she'eino nu yodim l'cha'edut. Or, for that matter, they didn't say Shvuat. They just said, Eino nu yodim l'cha'edut. And he said, Mashbi'a ni'alachem. V'yamru amen. And this, the Amru amen, is a little confusing, because l'chor, if it's going according to the Rabbanon, it's in front of Bezdin, and they don't have to say amen. Because in front of Bezdin, he said, even in Mushbim, if you have Messiah. But the truth is, it says that the amen could be going just even according to Rabbanan, and maybe it's just to make it the kitzur instead of saying, you know, that he's either explaining whether it's Rabbanan best or not. Hare elu chayavim. Hishbi alayim chamesh pa'amim chutz lebeitin. Uvo lebeitin vahudu pturim. So if he made them swear five times outside of Bezdin, they come to Bezdin and they're moda, they're potter. But when they're kafru in Bezdin, then they're chayovim al kol achat v'achat. Now there's a machlokas over here. Machlokas Rishonim. I leave it to Rabbi Meir, who holds that you're chayav on shvua outside of Bezdin, even if you never come into Bezdin, whether there is a din that if they did come to Bezdin and were moda, would they still be chayav for the shvua that they made? Or do we say that a shvua that is followed by a hodah, Alibad Rebbe Meir also wouldn't be chayav. So Rebbe Migash says that Mamaisa, just like anybody was Nishbachut or Bezdin, is chayav. How do you become subsequently potter? Alibad Rebbe Meir, she says chayav, you're chayav akutz l'Bezdin, and that's all. But even if you came in afterwards, you did not do a kfir in Bezdin. And in Bezdin, you actually ended up being made. You were chayav for the shvua that you made akutz l'Bezdin. However, there are shitas like the Ramban, the Ran, that hold that even Rebbe Meir would be moda. But if Lamaisa, he comes back and he ends up being made, that then the shvua that he made akutz l'Bezdin is not considered to be a shvua at all. I think it might be good to give that door a closure. All right, so that's important to remember, because the drushes that we make in the need to work out pashta according to everybody. What's the logic for saying that if somebody was made, it was kofar in Bezdin, and now he becomes chayav on the shvuas that he made outside of Bezdin, even aliba the rabbana? So what's this for? Amar Rabbi Shimon, matam. Why do we say that? I skip one piece. Yishbiyal and chamesh pa mi bifnei Bezdin mekofar chayav on alachet. Certainly, if the shvuas themselves were in front of Bezdin, you could only be chayav once. What's the reason for that distinction? Amar Rabbi Shimon, matam. Oil ve'inam yecholim lachzor ulahodot. That since Lamaisa, having been called for the first time in Bezdin, you can no longer change your mind and now be made in Bezdin, so the next Shvuah is not Nogea. Because the next Shvuah is talking about something that you couldn't have been made on anyway. Once you were kofar in Bezdin, your edus is meaningless. So what's the difference if now you admit or you don't admit? You're not able to be an ed. That's the logic. Mashen came what you did outside of Bezdin, it doesn't matter if you were kofar. Because you could still, when you come into Bezdin, you can now act as the ed. And at that point, you would become chayav on everything that you did outside of Bezdin, even Alibad Rabbanan, as long as in the end you were kofar in Bezdin. Sensitivity, responsiveness. Women don't go with koach. They go with respect. Men go with koach. So when she came in, she sends what needed to be done, and she did it. It's always like that. I suppose. Maybe that's the reason not to marry them. They know too much. Now, suppose, obviously we're talking about the two Aidens, and now suppose they're a kofar not at the same time. And that already raises an issue, because the time that the Aidens is destroyed by one, the there's nothing left for the other. So therefore we say like this, if kafru shneihem ki echad, then shneihem chayavim. But if the zachazer, then harishon chayav, because if he had been made as properly, then there were two Aidim that could have been made to be machayav the person bani. But the second one, if it's a zachazer, he already had nothing to achieve with his Aidim, because one Aid wouldn't have been them Neman to take money anyway. The Gemara is going to discuss, but what about, I mean, one Eidus, and Neman take Tamima Chayav Shvua, why wouldn't that be an Eidus? So there, the second one would be Potter. Kofar Achad Vahode Achad, or if one was Kofar, the second one admitted that he knew it, so the Kofar is Chayav. Now this seems to be totally redundant. I mean, obviously, if in a case where the second guy was also Kofar, we're going to say that he's Potter Sakosha chain. If he's Moida, I mean, he's Chayav. The first guy is Chayav. And what is, there's nothing added here. Tomorrow we'll discuss it. How you stay Kitei Edim? If there were two separate Kitot, Kafra Harishona V'Achakach Kafra Shnia, Shehem Chayavot. And of course this is a problem because you would have thought just the opposite of it. If when the first kat is koferet, there's still a second kat to be made, they didn't do any damage in. There was no, what's not coming if they would have been made or not. Even if they're not made, he has the eight. To the Gemara will just say, Omar Shmuel, Ra'u Sherat Acharehen. Omrulo, Matarat Acharehenu, Shvua Sheinonu Yadim Lachayedut. Suppose the two Adim see the Baldover running after them. And they say, oh no, there's the jerking king, we're going to be made for him. They scream out, I don't know what you're running after us for. We're not going to be any help for you, we don't know nothing about the case. They're put. They have to hear him first be tovea, like it says, Rishama kol Allah. You have to have heard the call, the demand for the Adim. Come on, I understand, that's no Chiddush. Shmuel has to finish him, you should say that. My Makamash. Tanina, it says, Shilach biyad avdo. Let's say this Tovea sends his Eved to ask them to come to court for them. And the Eved makes them swear. Or, suppose the other guy, the defendant in the case, says, hey, you guys, I want you to testify for him. Now let's see. And they swear to him, no, we don't know anything about the case. So there it's not the Tovea, the Nitzvah, who asked for the Shvua. In this case, they're still Pturin, because they don't hear the Shema Kol Allah from the person that is demanding the testimony in his favor. So that's pretty clearly. I mean, what is Shmuel adding by saying, and if he was running after them, but he never told them to swear that they're potter, of course they're potter. Says the Gemara, no, because rot achareihem itrichaloi. I might think that the running itself, after chasing them, is the equivalent of his shouting to, hey, you guys, come to bed, hey, you jerks, I'm going to get you, I'm catching up. That same thing. And when they respond and they say, Shvua Sheinonu Yodim Lecha, Kamandi Amalu Tami, that's as if they're responding to the Tovea himself. Kamashmulan, it has to be literally of a Shema Kol Allah, that they hear the Shvua. Well, wait a minute, that's also not a Chiddush. That's another mission. There's a mission that says, as we just learned a minute ago, Shvua Teidut Ketzat, Amar Le'edim. Notice those words, Amar Le'edim, Bo'i Va'iduni, Shvua Sheinonu Yodim Lecha. What is Amar Le'edim? Why can't we just say a case where the people made a Shvua? Why do we need to know the background Amar Leidim? So obviously, the Amar is critical. Amar in and lo Amar lo. It's only if he said it. Well, you could say the Amar is lav dafka. You know, it's sort of an introduction the guy says to the witness. Not that he had to say to the witness. If you're not going to say that the word Amar is not critical, how are you going to understand the same sugya by Pikadon, where in the Mishnah also says Amar? And there's certainly no din of Amar by Pikadon. Over there it just says Bekichesh Bahamito. However, he's Makrish. He doesn't have to hear a kol Allah. Because there it says, Diktani, Shvu'ata Pikadon Ketzad, Amar lo tainli Pikadon Sheishli Biadecha. The Shvu'ata Pikadon is a response to somebody saying, give me what I asked you to hold for me. Where's my wallet? So what are you going to say? That Amar is Dafka? Hafkinami Amar in lo Amar lo? Where would anybody get such an idea from? Havikichesh Amito, Bamito, it's all it says in the Pasuk about Shvu'ata Pikadon is Bikichesh Bamito, that he refuses to give it to him. It doesn't say that's Koldahu. It's without the other guy necessarily having to be the one that Tovea is. Ela Amar Lavdavka. So obviously the word Amar in that Mishnah about Shvu'ata Pikadon is certainly not meant to be taken as critical. So Hakinami Lavdavka? Here too. It's the same Amar. What difference? No, wait a minute. Hi, my. What kind of logic is that? I mean, Iyamit Bishleim Amar the Hakadavka. If you're going to tell me that when it says Amar in the Mishnah of Shvu'ata Edus, it means that it is critical, you could say that once it already adopted the language of Amar, so when we get to Shvu'ata Pikadon, it also talks about Amar. in the same sense, because we've seen that all the Mishnayos in this Masech, there is an attempt to make them parallel, even where it isn't important, the word, you know, like by the clothing or the Nashim and all of that. So, okay, so you could say that because here it needed to be said, so we already said it there. Eliyamrit, but if you're going to tell me that neither of them are critical, that lo amar dahasam dafka, velo amar dahacha dafka, neither of them are really meaningful statements as amar. So then amar, amar, what's everybody thinks amar stuff? What do we need it for, Bichla? So lamalim lamisnai? Don't mention it. Okay, I understand your logic, but maybe the point over here is that the Mishnah is just saying normally when a person makes shuris, pop out of the blue and say, I swear I don't owe you anything. Why would you do that? So we sort of say the case without meaning in either case is critical. It's just part of the normal masa'o matan. Therefore, Kamashvalan comes along now, Shmuel, to tell us, no, it's mamish critical. And even if you saw the guy running after you, if there was no Amira, then there's no fear. Tanya Kavosha to Shmuel. In fact, we have a brisa that says exactly what Shmuel said. Of course, we never ask my Kamashvalan when somebody says something from a brisa. Not everybody knows all the brises. But when it's a Mishnah, we ask, what Shmuel? It says it's a fair. But the Tanya Kavosha to Shmuel, when it's a brisa, it becomes a riot, not a question. If the Edom see this guy coming after them, Amrulo, and they say to him, Mata Bacharenu, what are you chasing us for? In that case, there would be Peturim. Whereas when it comes by Pikadon, of course, by Pikadon, there's no dinner v'shama kol alav. They don't need to be responding to him. So over there, they would be chayavim. And that's exactly what we had concluded before. Now, the next case in the Mishnah discussed the interesting relationship between the makom of making the shvuah and the makom of the kvira of the eidos. And we established in the Mishnah, and we took for granted, at least in the Mishnah, we didn't really explain why, we took for granted in the Mishnah there's two separate components for us eidos, as opposed to the other shvuahs. One is the actual shvuah, and the other is the kvira, in a way that's mechayev. So you can make the shvuah outside of Bezin, according to the Rabban, and it won't make any difference. According to Rabbi Meir, it makes a difference even outside of Bezdin, but there may be Hodah in Bezdin. I could change it. We talked about the Machlokas, the Rimigash, and the Ramban. But there's certainly an element of Kvira that is a Kvira in Bezdin, Alibid Rabbana. So how do we know that? We know that Kvira with the Bezdin, Udi Mechayvi, and Achutzal Bezdin, Lo Mechayvi. And it seems clear that the Rabbanan are ready to say, close the door properly, please. The Rabbanan are ready to say that there's no Chiyav outside of Bezdin in making the Shvuah, but that there's a chiyav if subsequently you're kofer in Bezdin. How do we know that it's on the kfira in Bezdin you would be chayav? Omra Abaye, Omra Kro im lo yagid v'natavano. What does that mean? Im lo yagid v'natavano? Lo amati lecha ela b'makom she'ilu magid ze mitchayev ze mamon. It's where he says im lo yagid. If he won't say what he's supposed to say, so then he will have to pay. Then this guy will have to bring a shvuah. Mashma, that we're talking about where the Haggadah is critical. In lo yagid. He better be saying it over here. Here's where it's going to make a difference. Where's that? That's only in Bezdin. So the in lo yagid ben asavano means only in a place. Lo amarti lecha. Ela b'makom she'ilu kein magid zeh. Mitchayev zeh mamon. Where it would have, the Haggadah would have been a true Haggadah, which is in Bezdin. Then, if you're not, then your kvira is tofes. Now, I mean, so then you would think to yourself, well, I mean, then why doesn't that define the whole parasha? If you're telling me that the kvira is in Bezdin, where do we get the idea that there's a separate mokum to make a shvuah and a separate mokum to be kofer? I mean, it's very interesting. None of the other cases do we find that there's two components in the shvuah. So why are there two components over here? We're saying you can make the shvuah, be potter on the shvuah, but at the moment that you're kofer in Bezdin, now you become chayav on the shvuah. Now, look, it's one thing. Either if the Torah is telling you that the critical element over here is the non-haggadah, so then say that that's where the shvuah has to be made too. But the Mishnah says this really strange thing. You make a shvuah, the samachai of you, outside of Bezdin, and somehow when there is a kvira in Bezdin, then you become chayav on that shvuah. Who says that there's a shvuah which the Bezdin before? Then why don't we conclude all the way and say that it's not only a din in the kvira, it's a din in the etzim shvuah? No. Lo sakadak, you can't say that. Because the Torah was already megalatas that there's got to be an alternative to the shvuah in Bezdin. Where? Because since it says, So la'achas means that you could be chayev for each time that you refuse to be made, right? Now, how could you be chayev for each time you refuse to be made? If you're going to tell me that the refusal, obviously refusal with a shvua, and that's what we're talking about, the v'shama kol olam. So you're going to tell me that every refusal is machayev me, and yet I can only do that refusal in front of Bezdin. How could I be chayev more than once? As Rav Shimon already explained in the Mishnah, once I deny it in front of Bezdin, I could never be made again. If I can't be made again, then there's no im lo yagid v'nasavara, because I can't be magid anyway. I'm like an isha or a korov. I have no right to be made. So the isak ataytach bebedin min mechayev akol achati achat, would it be possible for the Torah to say you're chayev on each shvua separately? But nani shvia aleihem chamisha pa'amim bifnei bedin v'kafru ein chayevim el achati. It says you're only chayev once. And Rabbi Shimon explained it. I'm Rabbi Shimon Matam. Hoyel veinam yecholim lachzor la'odot. Halalav shmamina shvua chutz lebeitin tvira bebeitin. Therefore, we have no choice but to say. If on the one hand, the Torah is telling us, im lo yagid v'nasav v'nam, which means in bezdin. And on the other hand, it's telling us, im yesham la'achas mi'ela, that you can be chayim more than once. It's got to be this. It's a component. You're chayim on the shvua out of bezdin. Assuming that there was a kvira in bezdin. Or I'll leave it or every man. These are two separate issues. You're chayim tam on shvua chutz lebezdin. The question, what the point of the kvir in front of Bezdin is, okay, that's who said was a machlokas, the Rimigash and Ramban, whether even Alib or Rabbi Meir, there's really an element of kvir in Bezdin. If you're made in the end of Bezdin, you pot yourself on your shvut.
Yeah, that's between
5 and... Who? The guy, man? What do you mean, Mashmiya? The guy? Every single time the guy comes, he yells at him, what's the matter with you? You still a liar? I want you to be made. I swear you're going to be made. No, in front of Bezdin you can only be chayev once. Then you're potter. Well, he should not be mashpim, but you think it's the easiest thing in the world to hold the guy down, you mean? Yeah, obviously, we'll tell him an eitz teiva. What's the matter with you? Shut up already. But when a guy walks into Bezdin, he's screaming and shouting, he says, I can't believe it. You're lying again. I swear you're going to give me Bezdin. Of course he shouldn't be. Kofu shneim ke'achat chayavim. Now, what do you mean kofu shneim ke'achat? I mean, the problem over here is once one of them is a kofer, the other one is no longer able to achieve anything anyway. There's no lo yagid. So what does it mean to say if they were kofer bevat achat? I mean, literally bevat achat. I mean, how could it be bevat achat? There's an instance in which the first guy said no, and at that point, and the second guy says no an instant later, so he's potter already. So how do you get a case where you're chayav? Yev Charlotte Tamsain. We don't believe that two things occur mamash simultaneously. Omra fista money Rabyosi Aguili to Omra Absolut Samson. Rabyosi Aguili Shita is that Allah takes into consideration simultaneously, even though there's not really any such thing. But so it is the classic cases where a behemoth gives birth to two, whether it's Jared, they should both be in the law. Okay. So, I mean, if it's Absolut Samson, that means that halachically, we're not the doctor to say that something has to be precisely simultaneous. It's halachically simultaneous. I mean, as long as you don't measure the difference, both simultaneous. So that's two people say, you're right, that if we took, if we throw blights and we break it down, it wouldn't be precisely at the same millisecond. But that's called symptom. Rabbi Yochanan Amar? Rabbi Yochanan says, what symptom, Shmimtsum? It could be going according to Rabbanan. I mean, you never heard of Tochkidei Dibur in your life. What's this business of perception of Samson? It was talking about, it was Tochkidei Dibur, Tochkidei Dibur, Kidibur Dami. Now, at this point, we thought Tochkidei Dibur means they both say the words that on Shvua Sheinon Yodim Lasayidut, the Tochkidei Dibur, which is, of course, impossible, because Tochkidei Dibur is only the word Shalom Alech Rabbi. So how can you say all those words Tochkidei Dibur? So we asked the Gemara, what is that supposed to mean? Amalei Ravach Midipta Ravina Michte. Tochkidei Dibur Kama Havet. What's Tochkidei Dibur? It's Kidei Shila Talmid L'Rav. So how can they say Shvua Sheinon Yodim Lecha Edut? By the time one says and the other says, you're way over Tochkidei Dibur. Omarlei, that doesn't mean they both say it something. It means one begins within the amount of time of Kedei Dibur from the time the other one ends. That's what it means. So then it's all considered to be, It's all considered to be as if it's one testimony, and the mele, it's ki'ilu, they both came bevatachat, as if it's a dimdum. Now the point of a tokshite before, according to this, it would be what we view that as the meaning of simultaneous speech. And we'll see that there's another approach to what the meaning of tokshite before is over here, which we'll discuss at the end of today's da. Now bezeach ezeh rishon chayav v'asheni patur. Now the problem is, once the first guy says that he won't be made, there's no longer two witnesses. But still, why should we say that the second one is potter because there's no longer two witnesses? We should say that even as a single witness, he could at least get the guy to make a shvua. Now that he refuses to give his testimony, now there's no way to get the money out of him because he's not going to make a shvua. So how do we explain that?
Just keep quiet. Once this guy was caught, the other guy,
he keeps quiet. No, I want you to testify to make the guy swear. What do you mean? That's the point. He can't keep quiet. He has to respond one way or the other. He says, no, I don't know testimony, so he's going to be fired. He should be. But an 8 but works for Mama, for Shvua. So, the Chora says the Gemara, that the Mishnah is not going Aliba, the Shita, that holds that even an 8 Ephod, which is Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, as we'll see, that even an 8 Ephod is going to be Chayav for Shvua Sa'ed, the Tanya. Hamashbia 8 Ephod Patur, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Mechayev. So our Mishnah is going, Shalom Aleichem, the Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, so it would appear. Now, what's the Machlokas? Lema Baka Mitzvah, let's say, the Machlokas is, Demar Savar, Eidacha Kiyata Lishvua, who the Kaata, Demar Savar, Eidacha Kiyata Lemamona Kaata. Now, Rashi takes this literally, and he says that the Gemara is suggesting that the Iman Diyama, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, who holds that an Eid Echad is Ayat on Shvua to Eidah, is because an Eid Echad could be Machayev somebody Momma, an astounding Havamina, we'll see whether we would even blive by it. And the reason for it would be because the only time that it says Lo Yakum Eid Echad Be'ish is L'chol Avon U'L'chol Chatat. So in other words, Dafka Avon V'Chatat. So that's only if it's Nogea being manishin as a criminal penalty. But for Mammon, maybe he would be found. Now that's an amazing thing because we see all over the Gemara that is taken for granted that that's not, which I will see later on in our Mishnah as well. But that's how Rashi learns our Gemara here. Again, other Rishonim learn that it doesn't mean that the aid is literally coming from Mammon. What it means is that in essence, an aid that is coming in order to be mitareh for a chiyuv of Mammon with another aid. But the ikar element of his testimony that Torah was referring to is not a testimony. And that's what they would be arguing. The Tizbra, is that the argument? Don't you know how Abaya explained that Hakol Modim, in reference to this machlokas between Rabban and Rebbe Elazar, he said a list of things to make it clear to us what the real machlokas was. And what he said is like this. Everybody is moda with a single aid who's coming for a sota that she was mea, but of course he'd be chai. Everybody is moda be'edei sota. Everybody's moda for the two aidim of a sota, and we don't know what they've been made yet. We're going to go 3 days. And as a matter of fact, there's also machlokas the eidei sota, which is even more confusing, but not really, because when you think about it, there's a lot of different aidim for a sota. You need the aidim of the hinui, and then you have the aidim for the hira, and then you have the aid or aidim for the tum'ah. So when he says three categories of you, obviously he's referring to different parts of the aidim of the sota, but we'll explain in the Gemara what he means. Okay, this to us, we'll see that even this part is important. Furthermore, everybody's motive by aid echad, which sounds crazy. How can everybody know by aid echad? The machlokes is by aid echad. And the akol modim because aid kinegdo chashut ala shvua. Everybody is further mode in a case where you have a single aid where the one that he's being made against is chashut ala shvua. Now, we're going to go through each case and explain it. Chashut ala shvua means he can't make a shvua because we won't trust him. He's known to be a ganav or whatever, right? So now, we're going to go through each case, but the bottom line of Abaya's logic, as we'll see, is that the real machlokas between Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and the Chachamim here is in whether a aid that is mechayev a person in a way that may lead him to pay. In other words, he may decide, I don't want to make sure I'd rather pay. Or the Satan may decide, well, I don't want to, I don't don't want to get involved in this. I'll just be moda that I'm tamei, and then I'll lose my tshuva, and so on. That the machlokas is whether such a thing is considered to be mama. Because it itself isn't machayev mama, it just puts somebody into a position where he may end up actually paying. So it's goring the person to be moda on mama. But it's not directly machayev mama. And that's the machlokas. Whether something that is imiyagid, ulai, Zayigrom Lamama, is that included in the Imlo Yagid Vanasavana? So therefore, the real machlokas is Achaba Akamiflinga. Now, the Kuleyam, everybody agrees that Eidachot, of course, an Eidachot is coming to be Machayev Yerushua. The question is that considered to be the Chiyav that the Torah would give you for Imlo Yagid Vanasavana? Because Achaba Akamiflinga, Mar Sover Dorvar HaGoreim Lamamon. Something, that this is not to be confused with the din of Dover HaGorim Lamama. It uses exactly the same words. Normally, Dover HaGorim Lamama means something which is worth money to you, even though it has no value. Let's say you have Chomet Sha'avar Alavapera, which is the way you can give something back that had been stolen. You say, Areshul Chalafanecha. Now, it's not worth a dime, but it is what was stolen. So, Areshul Chalafanecha. To you, that's worth money, because otherwise you're going to have to pay the guy what you stole. Is the Dover HaGorim moment considered to be money, because in fact it ends up being goreim that you don't have to pay moment. That's a technical question of the definition of money. That's not what we're talking about over here. Here we're saying, is something that can be goreim a person to be moda in money the equivalent of edus for money? That's the issue. So mar sava davar goreim lamamin kamamin dami. Mar sava lav kamamin dami. Since over here it's not clear whether he'll be moda and whether not to swear, or whether he's ready to swear. So you don't know if he's going to pay. You don't know if going to help the guy by being made for him. So that's the question. Rabbi Elazar of Shimon says, look, it's nonetheless a help if there's a chance to make I pay. In which case, Yim lo yagid v'nasav enough. The Chachamim say, Yim lo yagid is bedafka in a case where that if he had been magid, as we said earlier, mitchayev ze mamon, he's not mitchayev mamon. Gufa. Now let's come to understand what Abaye said. I mean, he said a very cryptic statement over here. Hakol modim be'ed sota, hakol modim be'ed sota, machlokas be'ed sota, hakol modim be'ed echot, hakol modim be'ed shekinegdo koshel al hashvua. This is wild stuff here. What is each one of these cases? I'll tell you very simple. Hakol modim be'ed sota is talking about like this. It means hakol modim be'ed shechayim. Meaning that if a husband goes over to a witness and he says, look, I have reason to believe that you know whether my wife slept with a guy. And if you know, and I want you to come into court and testify to that so that I don't have to pay her tshuva if I divorce her. You're going to get a heck of a lot of money. It's like a thing that comes up all the time in court, right? Somebody wants the right not to have to pay a marriage settlement because he wants to prove infidelity. So that's what it's talking about. The reason that over there everybody would be moda, that if that guy refuses to testify, he's definitely chayav a korban shvua, is because the Rachmana Hamner. The Torah allows the testimony of an eid echad in a case where there's raglayim ledavar. And obviously, Kinu Yitzira is raglayim ledavar. I mean, this guy just made a big fuss of answering his wife to go in alone with this person. And she did, and we know that she did. So if an eid echad comes along and says, you know, forget about just being alone with them, I know what was going on, we believe him. Sabadat. No. This is supposed to be invigorating. It's not
invigorating.
Well, I'd hate to think what would happen without that invigoration. maybe we should have Benny send out some nice items. You know, it would be a nice thing, actually, for us. What? Benny is close when we need him the most?
No way to get
it. Oh,
we'll have to go with
John here. That's a disappointment. I thought we could actually have a nice track of hot cocoa. Fine. So that's that case. How do we know that the Torah believes in Eid Echad? Because it says, the Eid Ein Ba. We darshan, Eid Ein Ba is a trust. Kol she eish. For any aid that you would have would be sufficient to make her lose her tshuva. So that's the first case of fire. Case B of Abai. Hakol modim be'edei sota. What does that mean? That means hakol modim be'edei sota that you're potter. Why is that you're potter? It's referring to edei kinui. Because if you consider it, what are you going to do? You're going to bring witnesses that you told her, don't be alone with so-and-so. Yeah. And then if there's Eidei Stira, that she did go in with so-and-so. Yeah. And then you'll take her to drink the water, and maybe she'll be Maida, and then you won't have to pay her a tshuva. What were we talking about? So you know what you're saying? I'm going to be Goring Mama, then maybe Goring Mama. That's a Goring Mama Goring. That's not going to be Messiah. Everybody's made of that. Even Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And he's a very interesting discussion here among the Rishonim about, does this relate to the question of Garmi? This is Rabbi Meir who holds your chayav for a gani. So this would prove that if you're goring something, which in terms is goring something else, that that wouldn't be included in the chiyuv of groma de mamayna. Some make that, the shach actually passing that way. The Ramban giggles all the way to the Beis HaMedrash with this. He says, anybody who is ma'arev that sukya with this sukya is chayav mishum kilayim. it's a completely different issue. We're not discussing the fiyav of Nezikin here. We're discussing the question of whether that's included in Lo Yagid V'Nazav or no. It's absurd. There's no connection at all. This is not a question. The din of the Chayav Ashu is not a din because I caused the damage. It's a question of what the Torah views as testimony that needs to be brought to court. Why would I think the two have any bearing on each other? So that's the case of a gar and the gar. Now the next thing that Abaya said was that, well, there's also a machlokas the Edei Sota. Yes, it's very interesting that the machlokas, the Rebbe Elazar of Shimon, and the Chachomim have by an Eid Echad, who would be Machayim Shvua, is in fact Nogea a case of two Eidim, the Edei Stira. So say the guy says, I have reason to believe that you people know that my wife did go in with this guy that I told her not. So if, let's say, they say, yeah, we know, we'll testify. So what happens? She loses her kubah? No. She goes and we take her to the Kohen and so on. Now maybe at that point she'll say, never mind, this is too frightening. I slept with her. Fine, take away my kubah, right? I mean, that might happen, but it might not happen. Ayotaina, well, I don't understand. I mean, what difference does it make? If Lamaita, she's guilty and she drinks the water, we get rid of her anyway, so you don't have to pay her ketubah, right? The Mamanavshach, I mean, one way or the other, if they're gonna drag her there, or if she, whether she's a mother or not, he's gonna save the ketubah. So that's definitely not true. Because the norm is that she would have some zechut that would be tolah for her, saying she would still claim the ketubah if he wants to get rid of her. As long as she doesn't drop dead on the spot. So Mimela, that really would be a gorein. Okay, so here we have an interesting case where two witnesses become the equivalent of one witness in the normal case of a chayiv shvua, and it becomes a dover ha-gorim l'mamon. This is very cute. So, but it's clear, Abaya's analysis makes it absolutely crystal clear that the machlokas here is the nogea, this issue, dover ha-gorim l'mamon. So it's a gorim l'gorim, everybody's only lost. If it's a dover ha-gorim, that's why you have the machlokas. If the Torah would have believed you, then everybody's modi, not even in the Nerechot. So don't oversimplify this by thinking it's an issue of one witness, two witnesses. Sometimes the machlokas is by two witnesses. Sometimes everybody's motivated by one witness, that you are chayav. Sometimes everybody's even motivated by two witnesses, your partner. It could be anything. Okay, the machlokas made it so. That's the classic machlokas. Ma'asav adar ma'gar ma'amak yom ma'amadami l'chayav. U'ma'asav alapka ma'amadami apartheid. Also, in a case where akol modim, b'kishenegdo chashud al ha'shvua, and Akom Odim Be'ed Echad, that case of Be'ed Echad is referring to a special case, which is Reb Abba's case. And I'm going to explain it to you. Akom Odim Be'kishen Hagdol Chashud Al HaShvua. What do you mean, the other guy can't make a Shvua? Who can't make a Shvua? The Chashid Man, what, the borrower? No, so let's say, the lender is coming to say to an aide, this guy only has one witness. Says, you know the guy borrowed $100, and he can't make a Shvua, because he's a Goslin. They'll never accept a Shvua. So you come into court, Bimachayev him a Shvua, and then I get my money back. That's not true. Because Elam the Choshid Lover, so what? So the Malva says to the aide, well, Yatita, if you would come and Isarata Li, and you would be made for me, what would the din be in that case? The real din in that case would be that when the other person can't make a shvua, then the person who's doing the di'ah can make a shvua and take the money. Because what we do is we invert the shvua. So if I was coming to be mechayev you a shvua to tell me I don't owe you money and you can't take that shvua, then I'm the one who can take the shvua to force you to pay me the money. So what would be the case? The lender would be saying to the aide, look, you go, be mechayev this guy a shvua. Bezdin will immediately say, well, he can't make a shvua. So you make a shvua and take the money. At that point, I will make the shvua and I will take the money and you're going to save me a lot of money. He's a goblin. He's not believed on a shvua. He's already been proven to lie in court. Yes, absolutely. So in that case, why would the aide have to bring a carbon shvua for not responding to that? Why can't he say, excuse me, but mi yema de mishtabata? But how do I know? You tell me that if I come into court, I'm telling you I'm going to make a shvua. Do I know you're going to make a shvua? Most normal people don't like to make shvua. okay, you know what? I figured, I don't believe you're really going to go through with it anyway. I know you. You talk big. You're trying to scare the guy into paying you whatever. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to be made. We're going to spend the day in court. And then they're going to say, okay, you got to make the shura. And you say, nah, I don't really take shuras. And said, thank you very much. Somebody's going to pay me for jury duty. What am I going to be doing? So I said, forget it. I don't know anything about it. So in that case, it's not an im lo yagid v'nasav v'nomachara. So that can't be the case. The case has got to be, the point is, neither the malva or the lova can swear. There's a bunch of guys in one. So over here, the aide is told by the malva, look, you come into court, there'll be machayev im eshvua. Now he can't swear, so they'll turn to me and they'll say, okay, you got it. Oh, wait a minute, you got a lousy record. You can't swear. But the thing is, in that case, that the shvua goes back to the person who originally had to swear. Since he can't swear, he's in default, so he'll have to pay. So in that case, the one aide will definitely end up causing me a loss if he refuses to be made. And that's the case where everybody would agree that an Eid Echad is also chayev for not saying his testimony. Because in that case, the Omar Mar Chazra Shvua L'Mukhuyavba, that then the Shvua goes back to the one who was originally supposed to swear, which is the Lova. U'metov she'noyo chol Shabbat, since he can't swear, because he's a goblin, he has to pay. And that other case of Akol Modim in the case of Reb Abba, what's the reference to Akol Modim be'ed Echad? That's the case of Reb Abba, which is a really fascinating case that we had actually ourselves fairly recently. Ahu gavra dechotach nascha mechavei. A guy walks over to somebody's walking down the street, and this guy is examining a bar of silver that he's holding in his hand, comes along somebody, grabs it out of his hand, and runs. So this guy, of course, goes to court, and he wants a witness that saw this person grab it to testify that he grabbed it. Okay, so the guy testifies. Of course, in the equivalent case, in our case, the guy refused to testify. In the case of Abba, the aide comes in and testifies, I saw this guy running down the street, he grabbed it out of a man's hand. And of course, when someone grabs something out of a man's hand, the halacha is the assumption is the person that was holding it was the person in possession was it. So he should have to pay it. So fine, so he sues him by Rav Ami. Now Rav Abba was sitting in front of Rav Ami in the courtroom. Yazi Rav Abba coming. And also Isaac Hatzadi, he brings a single witness, this guy, the Mikhtav Chatzim, meaning that he had grabbed this out of his hand. At which point, the person who did the grabbing said, oh yes, I certainly did, because it's mine! Oh, the guy had walked into my house and stole it, I caught him and I grabbed it from him! So he stole something from me, not I stole something from him. Amr Abami, oh my gosh, what is a poor dayan supposed to do about a case like this? Hechi dayan the dayan, hechi the dayan edini, what is a poor dayan supposed to do by edina? Lishalein! Should he make him pay? How can you make a person pay without two witnesses? Like a trace on it. I don't have two witnesses. What should I say? No, I don't have any way to respond to this. Leave the race. Let him out of court. Aika chatzahada the mirtav chatzah. I mean, there's a single witness that he took it. Which means that there's a single witness that has established, as far as I'm concerned, that it belongs to the guy that he took it from. Because that's normally his possession. It's considered to be ownership. So now normally this guy would have to swear. But how can he swear? He can't swear that what the witness says is a lie. He's agreeing that he stole it. I mean, he's saying, well, I had a right to. That's all very nice. But that's not now considered to be swearing to negate the aid. He's saying, in chatzi, I did take it. But the dechatzi. Now, according to the information that's in front of me, in other words, if I would have had two witnesses that said what this witness said, he could have said, yes, I took it, but it was mine all he wanted from today to doomsday. He's going to have to pay for it, and we consider it to be a goslin. So in terms of what the single witness said, if he agrees to what the single witness said is true, then he's a goslin. Because he can't swear, given that what the aide said is true, because if that aide had been two aides, then he wouldn't have ever been able to swear. So what am I supposed to do now? He's hired, but he can't swear. I don't have two witnesses, so I can't make him pay. I don't know what to do. I should have gotten involved in this job in the first place. Says Rav Abba, it's very simple. I'm like Rav Abba. Bottom line is, he's mechuyav b'shvua. And he can't make that shvua because he's admitting that what the aide said was true, and therefore by the notion of that aide, he's a goslin. So he's a mechuyav b'shvua, she'ne yachol b'shvah. And the rule is, kol mechuyav b'shvua ve'ne yachol b'shvah mishalei. So here we have an interesting case. One case we had was an aide echad who is choshed ala shvua. She can't go choshed ala shvua. And the other is an aide echad who is not choshed ala shvua, but he's put himself into the serious situation of being mukhli of a shvua. She ain't no yachol shavah because of the case. And the mela, in that case, everybody, even the rabbanan arguing Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon are made that. Bottom line, if this aide isn't made, then this guy's going to be losing money because in that case he would have had to pay.
But that means from the
No, if he could bring witnesses to that, but he can't bring witnesses. He's claiming that. But as far as the court knows, he's the guy. When a guy was walking along on the street, all of a sudden somebody stole something from him. And he's admitting it. So, okay, so that's your gossip. Go prove that it was yours. The only testimony we have says it wasn't yours. It says you were chotef. Yeah, it means in terms of the Shvuah, we'd have to view him as a guy, because he can't contradict what the aide said. So what can he do? Omer of Papa, Hakol Madim the aide mitashuch. I'll give you another case. Bayez got some cute case here. I'll give you another case where even the Rabbanah would be motivated. A single witness, if a woman says to a witness, I want you to testify that my husband died, and now I can collect my kubah, and the guy refuses, so everybody would be motivated, he would be chayim. And akol madim be'ed mita. I'll tell you another cute case. Same case, everybody would be motivated shepotzer. Now what do I mean? Let me tell you. Ah, it's a good riddle, right? So akol madim be'ed mita shu patur. It's talking about a case where a guy goes over to a woman, he says, look, you should know I was with your husband when he was killed, and you're allowed to get remarried. So then she says to him, so come into court, testify to that effect, that I should be able to collect the ketubah. And he says, oh, I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about it. Right. So at that point, and the last thing he wants to know, the court should know that he's around. And since it happened to be the reason husband died was he shot him, but that's okay. So he doesn't want to go. So he doesn't want to go into court. So in that case, if he told her before, then Lamaisa, he didn't need to tell it to Besdin. Because by telling it to her, she could have gone into Besdin. And she would have been believed, because she found out that her husband died, and the thing is that a woman is allowed to come herself and say, well, I know that my husband died, and that's sufficient. Because in that case, it's not a Isha Sha'amra, but a woman comes into court and says, Mate Bali, Tinase? Or she says, Mate Bali, Titiabain. So she would have been believed on her own at that point. Of course, now that he refuses to corroborate what he told her, she's no longer believed. But the point is that she would have been believed if she hadn't taken it any further.
But she on her own knows without the aid.
No, she only knows because he told her. And now he refuses to testify. If she would have left it at that and never asked him to testify, it would have been fine. She could have gone into court and she could have said, I found out my husband died. That would have been fine. Lamaisa, now the person that she is dependent on is saying, claiming, I don't know anything about it. I'm saying this in the court. So now we can't say, you know, because he told you, but he says he doesn't know. So we can't no longer rely on it. But the point is that it wasn't his refusal to testify that caused the lack of her ability to get her tuba. She could have gotten her tuba without him. So that's not called him lo yagid min asavano. The other case is, akobadi beit mitashul chayev, where he never told her, right? And he didn't tell her, but he comes into Besdin, and Besdin says, well, look, you were with this guy, testify. And he says, I don't know anything about it. So in that case, he would be chayev, because when it turns out he did know something about it, so he now has to bring a karmic shvuah. Because had he testified, he would have helped her. She could have now been able to collect her ketubah. And by the way, there's a very interesting side effect of this particular last case of Eidei Mita, of Rebbe. Because when the court says to him, testify, they obviously don't know that the guy died. Because if they know, then they don't need him to testify. Right? Because you don't need Eidei here, really. So when they say, so what does that mean? It means that even, if so far every case we said could be interpreted as a guy goes to an aide and says, look, I know you know what happened, I want you to come to court. But suppose if somebody says to an aide, I have a suspicion that you know what happened. Be made. The guy says, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't know. So I might have thought in that case it's not considered to be of a Shabbat called Allah. What do you mean, a suspicion? I don't respond to your suspicion. It's a big deal. But here you see that even a suspicion would be enough people's eyes. And they bring a riot from this Gemara to that. Now, meanwhile, you do seem to see from here, says the Gemara, Shmamina, Mashbia Ede Karka Chayav. I mean, this case over here is a case collecting a tuba, right? As were the earlier case dealing with the Sosa. So the question is collecting a tuba. You can only collect the tuba, at least at the time in the Gemara, you can only collect the tuba from Karka, not from the Talmud. But there's all my focus later as to whether you're chayav on Shavuot Ha'edus on issues that revolve around land. Because normally you're not nishwayin ala karkalot. So it seems to be like we're taking for granted. granted that you do swear on inyanim of karka. Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. The amana tzafik spend the tatoi. Maybe she went ahead, grabbed cash that was in the house, and is saving it for a ktuba. In that case, we won't take it from her if she's huzah. Unless, of course, there's no basis for her if he's not. So all she's saying is, look, I have the cash for my ktuba. You be made that he died, and then I'll keep it. They won't be able to take it from me. So there, it may not be talking about the karka at all. Maybe enochinami, if she didn't have the money for the ktuba. Maybe none of these cases would be relevant because of a nishboid ala karka. Then the next case we had in the Mishnah was where there's one witness who's kofar, and the other one is modeh. Well, that's very strange. And it says, the ground, I don't get it. If in two cases, in the case we had before where there were two witnesses, each one is kofar in order, right? So the first witness is kofar, no, I don't know anything about it. The second one says, no, I don't know anything about it. And even in that case, you said, the first one is chayav, because at that point he ruins the festival. And the sheni is potter, so what did you think? If the sheni is moda, then the sheni becomes chayav? What exactly is the finish of this? So if the second one is modeh, so then the entire ashma is on the first one for ruining the testimony, and the second one, of course, is not going to be chayav for saying he does know. What is the point of this case? It's not telling me anything. So, boy, I need the case. Says the Gemara, the case over here is more complicated than you're looking at it. Lo tzricha, where do we need this case? We need this case where the person originally had indeed been kofar. First they had both been kofar. And then betoch kedei dibur, one of them is moda. And the chiddush is that since he reversed himself, betoch kedei dibur, he can now be made. In which case he undid the damage of what he said before. So the chiddush now is that he can go back, he can have charata, and the chiddush in the Mishnah is indeed not the fact that the first one is chayav, which is obvious. The chiddush in the Mishnah is that the second one is putter, despite the fact that he originally had been kofar bebezdin. And normally, if he had waited another second, it would have been obvious to say dibur. He could have gone back and changed his mind all he wanted. It would be too late. We say, excuse me, sir, you already chayav your carbon shvuah. You can no longer testify in this case because you've said to court you don't know anything. How can we accept your testimony after you said you don't know? The finish of the mission is that as long as it's betochet dibur, we don't say, hey, buddy, something's funny about you. And we say that it was a chazar betochet dibur, and in fact, he can be made. Says the Gemara, now wait. Tochet dibur to dibur, dummy. I thought that's how we learned the first part of the Mishnah. That was the only way we came to understand the halacha that they can both be kofar bevat achat. We said, how could two people possibly be kofar bevat achat? And we ended up by saying that tokidei dibur and tokidei dibur defines what it means by bevat achat. How does that work? There is a possibility. If you learned that the first case was because of this Efshel Tzamtzum business, going to Rabbi Yosi Haglili, we weren't really dealing with tokidei dibur, then you could say, okay, so the mission in the end introduces tokidei dibur. But if you didn't agree with the whole original explanation we had in the mission, and you said, actually, the first part of the mission had nothing to do with Efshel Tzamtzum, it's very straightforward, this question of tokidei dibur. So then the Mishnah already told us that this is tokidei dibur, kedibur. Why repeat it again with this silly case of somebody being moda? It sounds ridiculous. So basically, I'm a Reb Chista. I understand the way Reb Chista explained the Mishnah, where he said that the first part of the Mishnah was going like Reb Yossi Aglili, who holds of Efshel Tzamtzum. So the Reisha that said that if they both do it bevat achat, the Chiddush there is Efshel Tzamtzum, and the Chiddush in the Seif about being Moda is to tell me that then the Tokhtei Dibur is Kedibur Dami. But according to Reb Yochanan, what do I need Tokhtei Dibur twice? What, Reisha Tokhtei Dibur, and Seif is Tokhtei Dibur, and I didn't pick it up the first time. Tarkei Lomalei, I said, why do I need a Mishnah to mention twice Tokhtei Dibur? Says the Gemara, well, what's the comparison? I mean, let's say it only had said the first part. I would have said, Mada Tema, Hane Mili Kvira U Kvira. I'm saying both of them are being kofar. So then we're saying that it's considered all to be one testimony and one kvira. But that's all very nice. What does that have to do with Kivan Shidit Shuvan Chozer Magid? Would I know from there that a guy who denied knowledge can then turn around and testify as long as he does so b'toch kedei dibur? Why would I necessarily assume that? The din of toch kedei dibur in the Reisha is a halacha that it defines what is simultaneous, what is viewed as one testimony. But it doesn't mean that you could invert yourself as if you never said it. If you have a din of Kivan Shidit Shuvan Chozer Magid, well, b'toch kedei dibur, yes, Chozer Magid. Why? But doesn't follow. So thereby need the Sefer to tell me that no, indeed it does. And that Tosfos Kedidibur is much more than simply defining what the din of spontaneous is. But rather, it's all viewed as a single statement. That's the point. That's on the single edus. So the bottom line is that the guy is coming out of his single confused statement as willing to testify. And that's what he said. That's all that we hear. This guy said, I'll testify. That's a bunch of your Kiddush.
He testified and said, no, I know nothing about it. Couldn't do that. He testified and said, no, I know nothing about it.
Certainly not until we learn this din of Tosfos Kedidibur. Kedibur, don't
you?
Well, that's a tremendous Kiddush. That we're saying that Tosfos Kedidibur, a person can still change his Eidus. It's all called one Eidus. Bechara. That's the Kiddush here. The Mutzil say, Kimachiga, Shuman, if Ezra Magid is only if he completed his Agoda. If he never completed his Agoda, this is the bottom line of his Agoda. I don't know. Now, remember I told you earlier that there's two ways to understand the Tosfos Kedidibur initially. And the other way of understanding the Tosfos Kedidibur initially, which the Tosfos asks as a Kasha, is that Lechora, the din in the Reisha, is also based on the same halacha. Because over there, why is Kvira Tosfos Kedidibur considered to be Machayev, the second one? Because the first one could still have been made, even though he said, I don't know anything about it, as long as it was Tosfos Kedidibur. So doesn't that imply that you can change your mind from a Kvira to Hodah? So what is the Gemara saying? I wouldn't have known. So the truth is that now that we know that that's the case, obviously that would be true about the Reish. But the point is, as I've been explaining all along, if I wouldn't have known the Sefer, I would have simply assumed that the meaning of the Tosfos Kedidibur and the Reish is only because that defines saying something together. That's all. So it's like it was done, Ki'ilu was the symptom. But I wouldn't necessarily have had to say the way Tosfos is learning it now. Maybe, la'achra ma'aser, I know that the truth is that this is a din of Tosfos Kedidibur. Maybe that's true about the Reish as well. Now, the next case we had, the final case of the Mishnah, was where you have two separate kiddushim. The first god is kofer, and then the second god is kofer. They're both chayev. Now, why is that? Bishleima shniya titchayev. And then at the time the second god refused to testify, so then they actually were the ones that created the Im Lo Yagid. Then the guy's not going to be able to collect, because at that point, there was no other witness. The kofer lo rishona. But why should the first cut be chayev if their non-testimony doesn't really end up making a difference one way or the other? Because they could say there's still this other cut of Adim, go and collect it. What's it happening with us? So Rishona, Amai, Hakai Meshnia, and there was no Hefseid, and if there's no Hefseid, then why am I chayev? Now you see again here the subtle interrelationship between the dinim of Nezikin and the dinim over here of not testifying. Because if it's purely a din in a testimony that would be effective, what do I care that there's other people that could be affected? What's that the issue? Can I be Machayev moment for this guy? Yes, I refuse, so I'm Chayev. But makes Nachkamina that he could still recoup the money? So you seem here to be making an assumption that there had to have been a damage. Not because there's two different ways to learn. You can learn you're chayev as an aid only if your testimony would be effective, and therefore if you wouldn't have been a chayev moment, it wouldn't be effective, so there's no im lo yagid v'nasavo, no. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, well, if you didn't cause the guy any damage anyway by not being made, so what's the difference if you're made or not? Now, that's looking at it from the point of view of damage, you see. So did I damage him or not? But from the first point of view, what's the difference if I damaged him? Is my testimony meaningful testimony, real testimony, and I didn't give it, im lo yagid v'nasavo, no. That's the only criterion. And you can see here how this relates to the Machlokes we spoke about earlier, where the Ramban says that, you know, that you're lying to make up these arguments. You can certainly see that it's not obviously Kilayim, because the Gemara seems to be mixing up the Tzurgis, asking, what damage did you cause? Why don't I have to cause him damage? What's that doing the Zikin? I didn't testify a valid testimony, that's all. Omer Avina, Hachba Mayaskina Kagon Shai Tachniya Bishat Kvirat Rishana Krovim Benishotayan. Talking about over here, that these guys are brother-in-laws, married two sisters, and therefore, at the time, I can't use them as Adim. So I only have one cot of Adim at the time. So you'll say, okay, so what's the chiddush? So you only have one cot of Adim, and what do I get? Ah! The sisters were on their deathbed. So Lamaisa, if you'll wait 10 minutes, you'll now have kosher Adim.
Both.
Yeah. So you now have kosher Adim, but not at the very moment. So I might think, okay, so but Lamaise, I didn't cause the guy any damage. Now here again, we're going back. You see the subtle interaction. But since at the time that you said the testimony, this testimony was critical. Therefore, the Im Lo Yagid V'Nasah Avono is indeed a definition of testimony. Critical testimony. Not critical in the sense that this guy will never get his money. That's not what's critical. But the question is critical to this case. The case as it now stands has a critical testimony that only you can give. The fact that he could then go back to Bezdin and say, I have new witnesses, that's fine, that's another case. But in terms of this case, we have a critical testimony that needs to be given that you refuse to give. That's considered in Lo Yagid V'Nasah Avono. So Mao de Tema, Rov Gosasim Lemita, I would have said, well, what's the difference? These guys, the women are going to die anyway. Kamash Malan, that all that counts over here is they're alive. And therefore, it makes no difference whether they're going to die. Right now, it's critical.
Two brothers-in-law
can become unrelated.
No, but they're considered related, even though...
Yeah, they're considered related. Through,
yeah, you brother-in-law can, who's the brother of...
Correct. A relation through marriage is considered to be a relation. Right. Okay, gentlemen, now I think we're going to have to walk as a phalanx if we're not going to get killed on our way out with snowballs out there.
No, they hide. They hide.
We'll put Saba Josh in front. They'd never attack him.